Might be a compliment. Well, hopefully we're happy to be in worship this evening. It's this great time of the year where that sun pinpoints me right in the eyeballs. So if you ever get up here and you sing or you preach or whatever, you get up to do your testimony, if you do it around this time of the year, you'll realize it's hard to see basically everybody that's sitting out here. Well, just to give you a toe update, I still got the boot. Still got the boot, but hopefully on Friday I go back for x-rays, and if the x-rays look good, then I don't have to wear the boot. But then my wife is taking me to go see the Ark for the first time, so I get to walk around and hopefully not hurt my toe, and I get to watch her play some disc golf. Me and Jeremy and Savannah did get to go play disc golf on Sunday for a long time, and I still beat them. There's one thing that I love about this church. There's lots of things I love about this church. But the one thing I do love is on Wednesdays we get to do prayer and praise. Not all churches do that, and that's okay. Every church is different. But I love that our church does prayer and praise because I think that it's the church putting in action, casting our burdens on one another, praying for one another, lifting each other up. Because listen to me, I heard a lot of your prayer requests. I heard a lot of your praises too, but a lot of your prayer requests were pretty heavy. Oh, praise the Lord, we have hope. Amen, church. Praise the Lord, we have hope. I love the song Almost Home because it is so true, but there's just a small little piece in there. It says, not if, but when. Amen, church. Not if, but when. If you're a believer in Christ, it's not if you go to heaven. It's when you get to go to heaven. Amen, church. Amen. If there's one thing that this world needs to know, it's hope. It's everlasting hope. It's the living hope. And listen to me, there is no better hope than Jesus Christ. Amen, church? If you're a believer today, you ought to know that there's no better hope than in Jesus Christ. Listen to me, that is the message the world needs to know. Oh, praise the Lord for the Word of God, because through the Word of God, people's lives change. You want to know how America changes? You want to know how the world changes? It starts by the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God, it never changes. It never comes back void. We talked about this the last time I was up here. Oh, listen to me. You can put your confidence in the Lord because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, wow, can we put our confidence and trust in the One who never changes? Amen, church. Listen to me. This world needs hope. They need Jesus Christ. And there's many lost people today who've lost their hope, who don't have hope, stuck trying to mend their condition of sin. We've all been there, church. Every single one of us are either there right now or have been there, stuck in the condition of our sin. Oh, praise the Lord, He forgives sins. Amen, church. Praise the Lord, He forgives sins. There's no one better than Him. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this message tonight, but I pray three things happen. I pray, number one, is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have a good walk with God, that this message brings a smile on your face, remembering the awesome work of Jesus Christ in your life. The awesome, amazing salvation He's given us. I pray you can smile about that this evening, knowing that you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing, if your relationship is not going well, oh wow, do I hope that this message reminds you of the power of God. That God wants a relationship with you, that God wants you to come back to Him. But the third thing I want to stress the most, because listen to me, we all might think we're good, but there's even probably people in this small room that has never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're stuck in your condition. You're stuck in sin. So the third thing I hope from this message is God opens up your heart tonight. For the first time for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, wow, what a wonderful service this would be. Amen, church. If one lost person comes down and gives their life to Jesus Christ. Do you remember the moment you did? Oh, wow, what a wonderful moment. I remember the day that I gave my life to Christ. I sat right down there on the bench right outside. I think we didn't have the metal ones. We had the wood ones at that time. I remember walking from the school and sitting on the bench, and I had a best friend who knew I was struggling, knew my life wasn't great, and he asked me, do you know Jesus Christ? Oh, I heard of Jesus Christ, but oh, wow, did I not know Him. oh, wow, was I stuck in my sin? And I sat out there and I asked the Lord to come in my life. And listen to me, I understood that verse, that passage, or what that lyric of that song. Oh, not if, but when. Hopefully you understand that, church. Not if, but when. That's such a privilege to have. It's such a blessing to have in our life that we, our hope is not, oh, I hope I make it to heaven. Our hope is not if, but when. It's assurance. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. He's already given you everlasting life. We think our everlasting life starts when we get into heaven. Oh, but when you come to Christ, your everlasting life starts when you come to Christ. You already are partakers in everlasting life. Amen? That's the power of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3. That's where we're going to be tonight. I changed it up. I'm not reading a psalm in the beginning like I always do. Or another passage. I love this story. Just to give you a little bit of context. Jesus, he's been raised. He talks to the disciples for about 40 days. And he tells the disciples, you're going to be my witnesses throughout the whole world. Throughout Jerusalem, Judea, and all of the ends of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses. But remember what we talked about on Sunday as well. Judas betrays Jesus. We're down one disciple. So what does the disciples do? They get together and they ask God. They have two people and they ask God to pick from these two people. And God does. Now they have 12. And then the day of Pentecost happens. Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost happens. And the Holy Spirit comes down. And listen to me. Everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody hears the word of God. Everybody hears the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own tongue. That's an amazing thing. Amen, church. The Holy Spirit comes. We should rejoice and be glad that the Holy Spirit has come in our life. And then Peter gives probably one of the greatest messages ever heard. Because why is it the greatest message anyone has ever heard? Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Peter preaches to these people. And 3,000 of them are added to the church. Oh, wow, what an awesome thing that would be to see. Amen, church? 3,000 people coming to the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. In Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, one day Peter and John were going to the temple, and at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg. From those going into the temple courts, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. See, Peter and John, they're going about their daily life. They're going to the temple as they always do at 3 o'clock. They're going to pray in the temple like they always do. Just a normal day, really. A normal day going to the temple. But they come across this lame man. This lame man who's been lame for 40 years of his life. He's 40 years old. He's been lame that whole time. Many of us can't even imagine what that might be like. And people put him there to beg. Why would they put him there? Because it's the most traffic. It's the biggest place where all the people are coming. It's a good place to beg. And a lot of people would give him money. Why would they give him money? Because it was to show that they were righteous. They were giving alms. Maybe some of your translations might even say alms. They were giving alms to the poor. It made them feel righteous. That's something that they were supposed to do. That's a good place to be. They're going to pray. Maybe it made them feel good. But listen to me. This man has no hope. He ain't getting up. No hope. Stuck there to beg. Been doing this for a long time. 40 years of his life. Doing the same thing he's been doing for his whole life. Maybe you remember before your salvation, just going about your daily life. Stuck in the condition that you're in. Stuck in the sin you're in. Stuck in the mess you're in. Just still going about your daily life. This is all this man is doing. He's stuck there to beg. And two men, Peter and John, come to him. And what does he do? He asks them for money. It's what he always did that. He asked them for money. He's stuck in his condition. He doesn't know what to go. He's just trying to make it through. He's just an average guy who's lame, who can't walk, just trying to make it through. And we've all been like that man. Sometimes we forget in the church, we used to be like this lame man, stuck without any hope. I remember. I remember being stuck without hope. I thought I was good. I thought money was what I needed. I thought this is what I needed. If I just get a better job, that's all I needed. Maybe better friends, that's all I needed. Not realizing that there was something much deeper that I needed. Something that I had to have. Something I didn't even know I had. Many of us have been like this lame man, stuck without hope. Maybe you're here today and you're stuck. You're without hope. You don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow. You don't know how you're going to, you don't know if you're going to go to heaven. You don't know if you're going to have everlasting life. You're stuck without hope. Listen to me, the world needs hope. There's a lot of people today. Listen to me, this is a sobering thing. A lot of people today are thinking in their minds, is today the last day? Is today the day that I take it all? Is it worth living any longer? Lots of people are thinking that today. Lots of people are committing suicide every day. Let's not forget that sobering fact, church. This is how I know the world needs hope. Because people are taking their lives every day. People are trying to fill their hope with all the things of the world. Waking up tomorrow saying, wow, that didn't work. I feel exactly the same as I did yesterday. It worked for a moment, but then it passed away. Let's see what happens in verse 6. It says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Amen, church. Peter says one of the greatest things that this man has ever heard. He didn't even know he needed to hear it. He was hoping that the men said, look at me, and maybe he was going to give him a big gift, enough money to feed for the whole week. Maybe that's what he was thinking. But what does Peter and John say? They say, I ain't got silver, I ain't got gold, but I got something better. Oh, amen, church. He had the most wonderful thing this man has ever heard, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to me, this man didn't even know he needed it. There's many people who don't even know they need Christ. Many of you know them. Amen? Many of you have said it tonight. You work with them. They don't even know the hope that they need. Listen to me. This man thought he needed money, but he needed Jesus Christ. Amen, church? There's many people thinking they need money. There's many people thinking they need drugs. They need alcohol. They need better friends. They need whatever they need. But listen to me very closely. All you need is Jesus Christ. Amen, church? All you need is Jesus Christ. And listen to me, it's one thing to say something, but listen to me, in verse 7 it says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Listen to me, that's the power of Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. He thought he needed one thing, but he got the best thing. He thought he needed money or whatever. But he got the best thing. Remember your salvation. Hopefully it puts a smile on your face. You're just like this lame man. Don't think you're really any different than what he was. You're just like this lame man. But one day someone came to you and said, what you need is Jesus Christ. And you took that to heart by the Holy Spirit. And you came to Christ. And he's filled you with his Holy Spirit. And he's given you everlasting life. Be excited in the house knowing that you've been saved in Jesus Christ. Be so excited that you share it with somebody. That Peter and John were just going about their daily life, but they were ready to share the gospel. They were going about their daily life. Many of us are going about our daily life, but what are we doing rather than sharing the gospel? We're walking right by the person that needs hope. That might be a difficult thing to hear, but you're walking every day by people who need hope. You walk out on these streets, you walk to work, you drive to work, whatever. But you're walking by people that need hope. And Jimmy mentioned something to us in our staff meeting that I thought was true. It came through one of the state reps. As he said, I don't think the church is really evangelizing anymore. You know what happens when the church stops evangelizing? People stop receiving hope. This is our job, church. This is our responsibility to share the greatest news that anyone has ever heard. And this is what Peter is doing with this lame man. He's sharing the greatest news that anyone has ever heard in all creation. It's that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and I, that we were stuck in our condition of sin, that there's no way out. There was no hope of getting out. But through Jesus Christ, through God's love, through his mercy and his grace, he saved us. He's given us everlasting life. He's given us a place in heaven. We're almost there, church. We're almost home. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Did we not sing the songs today? I thought they applied well, because our God is the awesome God. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power, and he is your God. He's the only God, the only true God. And listen to me, the world might say that there's a lot of places to get to heaven, but there's only one way to get to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. This is one thing that Peter knew. He could have said, oh, just go to this place or go to that place, but Peter and John knew exactly where this lame man needed to go. He needed to go to the foot of the cross. Amen, church? Amen. He got the best thing. Someone can offer you $1 million, but it ain't the best thing. Someone can offer you a house. It ain't the best thing. Jesus Christ is the best thing. And you who are believers know that for a fact. Because you were living a life of however you were living. You might have been living in luxury. Maybe you were living in poverty. But one thing is true that we all should know as believers in Christ. The best thing is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Peter tells him the greatest thing. And he gets up and he walks. In verse 8 he says, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then when he went out, he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Not only is this man able to walk, but what he's doing, the things he's never done before. He's been lame for 40 years of his life, and Jesus, through the awesome work of Jesus Christ, he's able to do the things he's never been able to do before. He gets up and walks. He gets to go into the temple. Wow, can you imagine being a Jew and never getting to go into the temple to pray? He's just stuck there begging, but he gets to go into the temple for the first time ever, maybe. And listen to me, not only now he gets to walk, he's jumping, he's leaping. There's so much joy, I'm sure, that's filling his heart, because it's such an amazing thing. Amen, church. He's walking and he's praising God. And praising God. Let me ask you a question, church. Listen to it very closely. When's the last time you've just praised God for him saving you? Sometimes we get stuck in our routine. Sometimes we get stuck in our daily life, forgetting what Christ has done in our life. Forgetting the awesome work of salvation. We get caught up in the things with our kids. We get caught up in the things at work. We get caught up in the things at school. Forgetting that none of those really matter if Jesus Christ hasn't died and risen from the dead for my sins and my salvation. That's all that really truly matters. And praise him that he lets us serve in an awesome way. But listen to me, this man began to do the things he's never done before. And if you've come to Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is that not true for your life? Listen to me, this is an amazing thing, church, because it's one thing for Christ just to save us. It's one thing for Christ just to forgive our sins, but he gives us the ability to do things we've never done before. I'll testify to it, church, I never thought I'd be preaching. Ashley probably never thought she'd be worshiping. And many of you could probably say the same thing. Jeremy, you could probably say you'd never be teaching a life recovery class. Carla, you probably wouldn't be saying you'd be at the director at the Women's Life House. A lot of us, if it wasn't for the things Jesus Christ has done in our life, we wouldn't be able to do them. This lame man is able to do the things he's never done before. Why? Because when God says he makes something new, he makes something new. We're too busy living in our old lives, but when God says he's made something new, he's made something new. The old is gone. He's no longer the lame man begging on the street no more. He's no longer the lame man. He's the guy that God healed. And you're the same way. Think about that for a minute. You're the one that God saved. People running. People without hope. Every day, everywhere you go, there's people without hope. But you've been healed. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. You've been delivered. You've been reconciled to God. And God calls us to share it with those who have no hope. If Peter and John didn't stop, if they said, sorry, I ain't got the money, I ain't got silver or gold, try the next person, they wouldn't have been able to share the greatest thing that they've ever known. Listen to me. Some of us don't have the money to give to people. I understand that. I get it. But you do have something much greater. You have the name of Jesus Christ. You have the name of Jesus Christ. I think this is so wonderful that the man, he's no longer the same. Right? What does it say there? It says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Not only was he able to walk and jump and praise God, but those who looked at him said, that is not the same man anymore. I hope people can say that about your life. I hope when people look at your life today, they can say, oh, wow, that is not the same man. That's not the same woman anymore. Because you're not. You're not the same anymore. Don't live as if you're the same. Because, listen to me, God's blood, Christ's blood on the cross is so powerful to take something old and make it new. To take us from filthy rags. Wretches deserve the wrath of God and give us the grace of God. Give us the love of God. Give us the mercy of God. Forgive our sins. Pay our debt. Give us a place in heaven. Can that not put a smile on our face this evening, church? This is why we sit here. This is why we pray, we do prayer and praise, because we're all the same mind, the same spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's easy to get caught up in the weeds. Sometimes you got to go back to the roots. Amen, church? It's easy to get caught up in the weeds of all the things that happen, especially our church. Lots of things go on. Lots of things go on, good things. But sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the weeds of everything that you forget your roots. You forget the power of God in your life. You forget the salvation of your life. Sometimes we need a simple message to remind us of the Almighty God in our life. Amen. This man began to do awesome things, amazing things. We're going to keep going because this story doesn't end just in chapter 3. I'm not going to read two chapters to you, though. I thought about it, but we're not going to read two chapters. So chapter 4, starting in verse 7. But just to give you a little bit of context, Peter shares the gospel with those people that saw the man. And many of them believed in Peter and John. But they get persecuted by the Pharisees, the religious leaders there. They get persecuted and they ask, by what power do you do these things? And Peter and John looked at them and they said, by the power of Jesus Christ, we don't do any of these things. That's an amazing thing. They never claim any of the credit of those things. And listen to me, just something to understand. When you start sharing the gospel, Satan is always there to snuff it out. It's easy to get discouraged. But it's always good to remember that anytime you share the greatest news with somebody, you share Jesus Christ, Satan is always lurking to snuff it out. Some of you understand that. Because those of you who share the gospel, no, there's times where that person just comes in and destroys the whole conversation. Or the conversation just shifts just in a crazy direction. It's like, oh, they're almost there, right? You ever say that? I've said that. Oh, they were almost there. Listen to me. Satan is always there to snuff it out. You keep praying. You keep sharing the gospel. You don't give up. That's what we're going to be talking about. But listen to me. He's always there to snuff it out. In verse 7, this is what he says to the people here. He says, the people ask, they say, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That is, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which is, has become the cornerstone. Verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Amen, church. Listen to me. Peter and John didn't take the credit for saving this man. It wasn't because Peter and John had this some amazing faith that nobody else can have. That's what saved them. No, God saved this man. Jesus healed this man. That's something Peter and John understood. They didn't do the healing. Jesus does the healing. Jesus does the healing. And listen to me, it is God who gives us hope. I don't give you hope. A pastor doesn't give you hope. Hope only comes through Jesus Christ. And I love verse 12. Remember this, church. Write it down if you have to, because there's going to be people in your life that tell you that there's some other way. But this verse here shows us that there is no other way. It says salvation is found in no one else. Lots of people need salvation. Lots of people need salvation. And it's found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given for mankind to be saved. No other name but the name of Jesus Christ. No other name to be saved than Jesus Christ. You can't be saved any other way. The faster that the world understands that, the faster you get to hope. The faster you get to the living hope, the everlasting hope. You do not get there by doing good things. You do not get there by being more righteous than the person standing next to you. You don't get there by doing a list of things that you feel like you have to do. You only get there by Jesus Christ, because salvation is found in no one else. And there's no other way to be saved under heaven than Jesus Christ. That's the simple message of the gospel. Listen to me very closely. If you want to share with somebody salvation, if Jesus Christ is not at the forefront, you're doing the gospel a disservice. There's many pastors, many false teachers in this world preaching a lot of different things. And listen to me, they're not preaching Jesus Christ. We have to be preaching Jesus Christ. It's God who gives hope. Why should we share this hope? It's everlasting. It's everlasting. It's not a hope that comes and goes. It's not a hope that stays for a little while and then leaves. It's an everlasting hope. This hope gives everlasting life. It's not only is it everlasting, it's living. This is what the Bible says. It's living hope. Listen to me. Does it do an awesome work in our life to give us salvation? Amen. But this hope is so powerful. It helps us today. It helps the world today. It doesn't just help them in heaven. It helps us today. It's an everlasting hope. It's a living hope. It's the most powerful hope anyone has ever heard. It's a hope that can heal a man. It's a hope that can forgive sins. It's a hope that can wash our sins as white as snow. Listen to me, church. It's such amazing hope that it casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's such an amazing hope. It's such an amazing thing. And I love how Peter and John's boldness to say to the people who ought to know better, who ought to know this hope. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Simple as that. God has made the gospel, the amazing message, as simple as it possibly can be for someone to receive salvation, for someone to come to Christ. And I love the title Peter uses here. Some of us might miss this because it's just a small piece in the New Testament. But he says, what does he say? He says, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know what it says in Matthew? It talks about nothing good comes out of Nazareth. This was an insult to Jesus. Peter uses it as a banner. Peter waves it as a banner. The person you think that nothing good comes out of Nazareth is the one that saved the whole world. The one that saved the whole world. The one that you crucified on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. That's why this man stands before you healed. And listen to me, church. Why are you healed today? Right there. Why are you healed today? Why is your spirit healed? Why is your soul healed? Why is your sins forgiven? Why are your sins cast as far as the east is from the west? It's because, listen to me, God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you and I, who shed his blood as a punishment, a payment for our sins. God raised him from the dead. That's why you're healed. And listen to me, sometimes this lame man, this was an awesome work of God that he actually was physically healed. But some of us have ailments and physical things that maybe God never heals. Maybe he doesn't. But I can promise you one thing, church. You will be healed. When you step into heaven, when you step into the presence of God, oh, you don't have your physical ailments. That back that's been hurting you for years, it don't hurt you up there. All diseases, all illnesses, every tear wiped away when you get into the presence of God. Praise the Lord if he heals you today. Praise the Lord if he heals your physical body today. You praise him as like you never praised him before. But listen to me, there's one thing that it's always true, something I always have to think about. I might never get a healing heal, but he's already healed me. You've already been healed if you have Jesus Christ. Stop thinking that you have to have a physical healing. If you've already been healed the best way possible. The best way possible. The best way possible. Let's jump to verse 23 just for a moment. I want to read this last piece because I think it's essential for our Christian life. Verse 23 in chapter 4, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had to say to them. Then when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? And the kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable the servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Listen to me. Prayer is essential to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The religious leaders and the captains and all those things and the Sanhedrin, although that high up that piece, they threatened Peter and John that if they kept speaking the name of Jesus, that they were going to be punished. They were going to be thrown in jail. All those things. But listen, do you want to know what Peter says? He says, is it better for me to serve you or is it better for me to listen to God? Is it better for me to obey you or is it better for me to obey God? Listen to me. We're letting the world too often tell us not to share the gospel when we should be speaking it boldly and powerfully. Because listen to me, the world needs it more than they ever know. The world needs the gospel more than we ever know. Christians are shutting down too quickly. Can we agree to that, church? Christians are shutting down too quickly. And maybe if we prayed together that the Lord would open doors, that we might share the gospel boldly in those doors, maybe we would see more people coming to Christ. Prayer so often ought to be the start of sharing the gospel. Because listen to me, you ain't got the good words. You ain't got the nice words to say to bring someone to Jesus. Only Jesus brings someone to Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus brings someone to Jesus. You can't do it. You don't have the power to bring someone to the Lord. All you have to do is be obedient and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does best. It's a little bit easier to share the gospel when you say, Holy Spirit, it's on you. I'll obey you. I'll speak to the one you want me to speak to. But it's on you. So often did Jesus tell the disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you the words. We have that same Holy Spirit. He'll give you the words to say. we might be surprised what God will do with a church who raises their voices together. That's why I love prayer and praise. Because it's a start. We have to raise our voices together. Because we might experience something like the disciples or the apostles experienced. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I encourage you to start reading the book of Acts. And all that comes true. Signs and wonders and healings and amazing things. And many Christians say, oh, well, that was just them. That was back then. That can't happen today. Well, like I said in the beginning, is our God not the same today, yesterday, and forever? And just know that the hope you share is powerful enough to save and heal and do amazing things, just as it did in the book of Acts. You don't think 3,000 people can come to the Lord? You're probably not thinking God's big enough, or God's the same as he was, or God's just in a book. God's still the same as he always has been. And listen to me, I can preach. This is why I did this message, but I can preach the wages of sin over and over and over again. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And that is so true. And sometimes we gotta preach that. The wages of sin is death. But that's not the end of the verse. That's not the end of the verse. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, church? That's the gospel in a nutshell. The wages of sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We're all destined for hell. But oh wow, the second part of that verse is so amazing and is so wonderful. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, church. I can preach that over and over and over again. And I hope you can preach that over and over and over again. Because it's the most true thing that anyone has ever heard. It's the good news. It's the awesome news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people need to hear this hope in your life. People need to understand this amazing work in your life. People need to hear your testimonies of the everlasting hope in your life. We got to start sharing the gospel, church. We have to start sharing the gospel. If you want to see change, you want your mom and your dad, your brother and your sister, your friends to come to the awesome news that you know, you first got to start sharing it. You first got to let them know what Christ has done in your life. Many people, I've been there, I remember when I first got saved, there was moments where I was scared to tell certain people of the awesome work of Christ. Oh, that's a scary place to be because, listen to me, that same person I was so scared of needed the hope of Christ more than I ever knew. More than I ever knew. You have a responsibility. You know that when you come to be a believer in Christ, you have responsibilities. One of them is sharing the gospel. One of the most important ones is sharing the gospel. You have a responsibility to share the gospel. Because listen to me, the world is filled with a lot of lame beggars. A lot of people without hope. A lot of people sitting on the step, not knowing how I'm going to make it through the next day. And you're walking on those same steps with the greatest news anyone has ever heard. We want to see a lot of people be saved. Start sharing the greatest hope anyone's ever known. That's the power of the living hope. That's the power of hope. Many of you know what the power is. It's changed your life. You're no longer the same anymore. So let me ask you this question, church. Are you sharing hope? Are you sharing hope? Let's stand, church.